Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. News Talk 830 WCCO. Remember that name, Stephon Bailloux, played for the Minnesota Wild? Tough, gritty forward. And guess what? He decided to stay in town after he was done. And I ran into him at a coffee shop the other day. I said, what are you up to? He says, I'm teaching hockey. Makes sense. I said, I got to get you on my radio show to find out what's up with Steph. And he joins us now. Stephon, how are you?
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
The question, so you decided to stay in Minnesota. How did that come together?
Yes, I took a job with Velocity Hockey Center. Extremely grateful for the opportunity. When I was done last year out of retirement, my former agent, Ben Hankinson, got me with a meeting with Velocity. They're the owner, Noel Ron, and the manager, Joel Kluth, and we had a meeting, and I had a few interviews, and it absolutely was a great fit, and now I'm coaching there, doing private lessons and involved with hockey, and I also got hired from Noel Ron to be assistant coach with Holy Family High School.
How you like that?
Yes, this is awesome. Honestly, it's a pretty great job. I'm enjoying myself a lot. It has a big parallel to my professional career. I'm around hockey a lot at work. I mean, I call it at work, but I'm actually getting a blast. I'm having a lot of camaraderies with my manager there, Joel Kluth, and Noel as the owner. We have a good time. We work hard, and I enjoy every minute of it.
Is teaching fun to you? Is it being around the kids? What does he enjoy the most about it, and where do you get your satisfaction?
Well, it's a driven job, but it's also a lot of fun. I mean, I get to, flexible with the hours, but when I get to my job, I mean, I get to sometimes eat cups of coffee. I get to go on the ice, teach night squirts, high school hockey players, even some pro guys, and it's I'm around training and hockey, which is, it has been my whole life, so that's truly a blessing.
Now these tryouts are coming up for these poor kids. I feel I feel their anxiety as they try to make a varsity team or whatever it is they're trying to advance to. When you get the kid that's 14, 15, 16 years old, so now he's mature enough, he's played the game long enough, and he's trying to become a high school player, what is the one skill that they generally need work on that you see on a regular basis?
Well, I think it's the speed and the puck protection. I think it's extremely important, especially at that age. I mean, they still need to get stronger, but I think the poise with the puck is extremely important. I mean, I've seen it in my playing career. I mean, I even personally had some challenges about it, and it's something that you really need to get and learn at that age, and it will benefit you in later on when it's your draft year or when you want to play to the next level or you want to play a higher leagues. It's very important to have the right technique to protect the puck, and also the speed agility is very important.
Is there a big difference between a 15-year-old Minnesota hockey player and a 15-year-old Canadian hockey player?
To be honest, no. I mean, I met some absolutely great people around Minnesota, and especially in the community in Edina there, where I get a lot of clients at Velocity Hockey Center. And it's absolutely a blast working with them. The passion that the parents and the kids are having to get better is out the roof. It's I really enjoy it, and it's been an awesome fit.
How do you counsel parents? Because that's a tough place to be, is trying to figure out what's best for your kid, pushing them in the right direction without overdoing it and turning them off. What do you tell parents that they need to know about what's the most important thing about their child's experience?
It's very important to have fun, but also fun to a fine line.
Yeah.
The balance is, I was always a big always put a lot of importance to be determined. And, you know, it's one thing to enjoy, but the kid has got to want it too. And it's both ways. And this is why also that I really enjoy giving back to the kids or even the older kids. You got to want it. You need to have that determination and the passion for the sport. And you know what? If you do the best you can and you work the best at it and you have a great work ethic and you follow the direction and you put a smile with that, I honestly think that it's a perfect balance. And that gives you the opportunity for the best shot and to succeed.
When did you know that you maybe had a chance to play professional, make some money at this? How old were you, and what was it that you said, okay, I can do this? Or was it somebody that came into your life and said, Stefan, you got something going here?
Well, Mike, this question is, it comes often. It's really, you have to have also a drive, and it's really important to be passionate about it, and you got to want it. You want to have that mentality of showing up, working hard, be consistent, and you got to enjoy it. You got to breathe hockey. You got to want it. You got to have fun. And I think for me, I think at 18, 19 years old, I had a big opportunity in junior. I was playing with some very skilled player. And that year, a lot of the players were a lot better than I was, skill and talent wise. But I had a really important passion, but also work ethic that really got me over that edge. And I truly saw that opportunity, that it was for grab. And I trained hard that summer and I gave everything I got. And there we go. I mean, it's never a guarantee. Like I said earlier, if you give your best shot, you're motivated, you're passionate, you do the best you can, at least you'll have no regret.
When the Minnesota Wild last night, we saw them in struggle. They got beat 2-1 by a pretty good goaltender in St. Louis. They got blitzed the other night 6-3. They're going through some tough things right now with veteran players and guys they need to score, et cetera. What's it like inside a locker room when you think, well, we've got some talent here and it's not happening? What's the most important things? What do you need to do to get out of what you have been kind of some mini slumps and some big slumps for them?
Well, there's definitely challenges. In the locker room right now, I mean, there are a lot of pride guys out there. They're trying their best. It's not a lack of effort. I can guarantee that. All the guys are trying their best, and right now it's not clicking, not going their way. A lot of guys, you know, obviously it happens. It's a long season. For sure there are guys that, you know, can play better hockey. But it's sometimes there are stretches where, you know, you're fighting the puck or things don't go your way. And there's a bunch of proud athletes in the locker room. And it's the next day you got to regroup and do your best again. And I wish them the best to get out of that hole right now.
Yeah, and it doesn't just happen, does it? I mean, something good has to happen and then something good again and et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, I mean, it's there's a lot that goes on. I mean, the guys they have to pull for each other. Not so much, looking at who scored the goals. You got to be happy for each other. You got to pull in the same direction. Leadership groups got to take the locker room and drive with the right mindset and put everyone accountable and hopefully they find a way for the rest of the season, because they are a bunch of pride athletes in the Minnesota Wild hockey team.
You know, last year you saw what St. Louis did. You know, they turn it around and they get in the playoffs and they win it. How does that happen? It doesn't happen in other sports. Why does it happen in hockey that the eighth seed can win?
Yes, I mean, you never know. At the end of the day, that's sports. And, one thing can happen. One bounce can go the other way. And I think St. Louis Blues are a great example. Though, I mean, I don't believe that happens for luck. I mean, at the end of the day, they play the right way. They got hot at the right time, and the confidence level was great. I mean, once you get confidence, which is, I believe, that's the biggest thing. And even if they were down a couple goals in certain game situations or certain stretches of the season, they were not panicking. And again, their confidence level was really high, and they absolutely drive off that. And they played really well, and they played some very consistent hockey. Credit to them.
Yeah, for sure. And it's just amazing to me that you can get there. You know, you can get there from the eighth seed, which is why you play so hard during the year just to get there, right?
Right, absolutely. It's, a lot of credit to them. They find their stride at the right time, and they never look back. And it was a really impressive run.
Stefan, appreciate it very much. We'll stay in touch with you. And if there's a parent out there who wants to get a hold of you, do they go to Velocity, or where will they find you?
Yes, you can come at Velocity Hockey Center
in Eden Prairie.
Yes, at Eden Prairie, and I'd be happy to talk to you there, Mike. It's it was a truly pleasure to talk to you, and anytime we can chat again.
We'll talk soon. Appreciate it, Stefan. Stefan Veilleux, former member of the Minnesota Wild, now teaching hockey at Velocity Sports. Ben Hankinson, his agent's a pretty good dude, and. He made sure that they found a place for him, and if he wanted to work in it. And he's really good with kids, Stefan is. And so it's fun to see that he gets that opportunity. Now, earlier I told you about the best example of someone not arguing balls and strikes with an umpire, but making their point. I will explain that when we come back.
Sports to the max.
I don't know what that is, but I love that song. Boom, boom, boom. They play it at the U.S. Bank Stadium once in a while. And it just kind of like brings you to another level. It's like the player just goes, boom, time to go play. I don't know what it is. Scottish? Okay, what is that? Is there some origination there? Is that bagpipe music from Ireland or Scotland? Or, there's always something behind it.
Probably.
Yeah.
They play a lot of music
like that. Okay, it's cool music. I've never heard them in concert. Come to think of it, I've never heard anybody in concert hardly. I'd like to go. You know, look at that. When it gets cold like this, one of the things I always forget to do is I'd like to go. Somebody told me the other day on 11th. We work on 11th Street at CCO TV, 11th and Nicollet Mall. Here we're over on 2nd Avenue South, so about 6 blocks away. But on 11th and Nicollet. So I've been going into that office building for 33 years now. Walking in and out between CCO TV and Midwest Sports Channel and CCO Radio, can do some work from there, and CCO TV again. I came back after years, blah, 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 blah. In one way, shape, or form, I've pretty much been walking into that building for, better than 3 decades or right around between working for all those entities. And there's a building across the street, and I thought about this the other day. Is it funny how this happens? I've never known what that building was for. And it's funny because you just walk by it all the time and you don't really think about it. You just, it's there. You know, you have those things in your life where you, maybe it's a neighbor that you have no idea who it is and they live 2 doors down and have for years. You have no idea what their name is or who they are, et cetera. I don't know. But this is one of those buildings. It's right across the street. And I walk by it just about every day. I do every day, basically, or at least close to a drive by it for sure. And it's been there for the duration as long as I've been there. It's been there. And I just have never known what it was or what its purpose was or, why it was there, all those things. I never really asked anybody. And for whatever reason, as I was walking by it the other day, somebody was walking out, and I said, I'll ask them. They're coming from walking from out of it. I asked them what the heck that is, and I asked them what it is, and they said it was called, let me think, make sure I got this right, Orchestra Hall. And apparently they do like singing and they do music in there of some sort. I guess they got some real wingdings in there. And it sits right across from CCO TV all these years. And you go, I wonder what that building is. But you weren't motivated enough to go ask somebody. But they said it's Orchestra Hall. I had the same thing happen to me when I was graduating from college. I've been at Hamlin for 4 years. And finally we get to the day, and the dorm that I lived in for 2 years, right across the street from this building. And I always wondered what the building was, but I never got around to asking anybody. So finally we get to that big day, right? We're going to graduate from college, and I thought, God, that's one thing I don't know about this campus. Not a particularly big campus, but I wonder what that building is there. I lived across from it, could see it from my window every day. Saw it from my window, walked by it when I went, wherever I went to eat, whatever. And somebody told me, I remember this. They said, that's the library. I said, oh, okay. That's what that is. I said, well, people just check out books. I said, what do you mean? They go there to study. Oh, okay. So, you know, those things that you, it's funny how those things, you can be around them and not know what they are. Anywho, what happened was, you cannot argue balls and strikes in a baseball game. That's a rule. You can argue different things, but you can't argue balls and strikes because that is seen as what? A judgment call. A judgment call, students. So if you, the point is, the umpire sits in, he sees it better than you. You can't see from where you are, your angle, if it's on the corner or not on the corner. So just, you're not allowed to argue it. Period. Real simple. If you do, you're thrown out of the game. So it becomes a very simple and standardized way of umpiring a game. And the relationship with the manager is such then that he knows. If he wants to argue it, you're going to throw him out of the game. Whether he does it with the if he yells and screams at you or does it in a softer tone, you're still thrown out of the game. Okay? So the Twins are playing the Cleveland Indians years ago. And the Indians got a team. I mean, they got a team for the ages. Kenny Lofton's playing center field. Travis Fryman's playing third base, like batting eighth or ninth in the lineup. He's a good hitter. They got Alomar. They got Tomey. They got Ramirez. I mean, they're loaded. They're loaded. This was their run in that period of time through the through Major League Baseball, through the division. They owned it for a while, and I believe Tom Kelly was the manager, probably 2001 or so. And Paul Molitor had just gotten done playing baseball, at least a couple years removed, so he was on the staff. He was a coach with them, not a bench coach, but a coach. And the Twins are playing at Cleveland. And Cleveland is having their way. They're sitting back. They're getting ahead in every count, it seems like. They're getting a hitter's pitch, and they're driving it. And that's what Cleveland did back then. They had a lineup like the Twins had this year, kind of, you know, where you just go, jeepers, who are you going to take your chances with? If you got Travis Fryman batting ninth or Byron Buxton batting ninth, good luck. Who are you going to go after? Because it ain't going to be easy either way. And Cleveland's having a good year, and they got good players and all these things, but they're laying it on the Twins pretty good. And a lot of this has to do with, it seems like the Twins, anything that they watch is a ball. And if they don't swing, it's a ball. That's what it feels like. So finally, Molitor, a Hall of Famer to be, maybe he even was at that time, he understands what's going on out there. Young team, old team, veteran team versus the new team. Young team's not going to get any calls. So he didn't go out and argue balls and strikes. He did not do that. All he did was go in the back and find a hitting tee, a tee that you use for when you do drills. A lot of times, even at the major league level, they do a lot of tee work. They hit a lot of balls off tees, and that way they can square it up and figure out where their feet need to be and their hands need to be. So they do a lot of drills. People talk about tee ball. They use that in the big leagues. A lot of guys do it every day because they want to get their hands and their feet right. But the inference always is anybody can hit a ball off a tee. You might not be able to drive, but anybody can hit a ball off a tee. So Molitor's had enough of this. He's watched this. He's seen this. He's observed this. He knows what he thinks the home plate umpire is doing. So he didn't say a word. He never argued balls and strikes. He just went back and he found that tee, and he launched it out of the dugout in between the dugout and home plate. And the symbolism was, why don't you just put it on a tee for the Cleveland Indians? Why even bother calling balls and strikes? Just put it on a tee and let them hit it as hard as they can wherever they want, and then we don't have to waste time with you screwing up the strike zone. And if you're in baseball long enough, you knew exactly what he did. I'm sure people in the stands are going, why did he do that? He's just angry, so he threw the first thing he could throw. No, he specifically threw a tee. So the umpire would recognize in a nanosecond what he meant. Just put it on a tee and let him swing and hit it off the tee. That way we can save everybody from this. I thought that was one of the it was classic. It was everything about baseball that you kind of love. You're screwing us over and you're giving every break to those guys here. Let them hit it off a tee. Boom. Don't have to say a word. You just throw it out there and the tee lands. And then it comes to its position. And everybody that knows baseball knows exactly what he did. And that was classic. Remember that one. Put it in your back pocket, amateur baseball umpires. It's cold out there. And tomorrow night, every once in a while, it's the section finals in high school football. And every once in a while, it lines up where maybe the two best teams in the state in that class end up in the same section. Doesn't happen often. Happens once in a while. We talked about the other night, Becker played Orono a few years ago. Top two teams in the state, they play in the section finals. I'm not sure. I'm not saying these are the top two teams in the state in their class, but I'm saying you can make an argument for it. Benilde St. Margaret's and Minnehaha St. Paul Academy Blake both feature great teams, dynamic teams, really fast teams. And by chance, they will play tomorrow in the section finals. We will visit with the head coach from Benilde St. Margaret's about what it's like to prepare for Jalen Suggs and what it's like to prepare to win in November. They're not that far removed from a state championship when we come back.
Sports to the Max.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Dave Lee and I will throw it on tomorrow at 7:40 as well. Have a lot of fun. Adam Thielen will be on. Maybe he'll announce whether he's playing or not. We'll see. All part of the program with Dave in the morning. Unbelievable stuff tomorrow. He is one of a kind. Joining us right now, John Hanks. He's the head football coach of Benilde St. Margaret's. All they got to do is play defending state champs, Minnehaha Academy, St. Paul Academy, and Blake form one school when it comes to football. And this is one of those rare showdowns where it comes together in the same section. Coach, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Mike.
You've been down. How many years is it now for you?
I've been there for 27.
27 years, man. You've seen some really good teams, and you've gone to the show, and you've won it all and all those things. What have you learned along the way about November football and when it goes? What's the difference between having a good run and a not-so-good run aside from players? Is there something about learning how to play or a pace that you need to so that you're playing your best in November?
I think it's just being competitive, not letting the weather dictate. We go outside every day. I think years ago we found places of refuge in the gym instead of going outside and practicing, and I think that hurt us. So we've been outdoors every day, rain. The only thing that runs us off is lightning. So the kids are ready. The weather doesn't bother us.
How does it work at Benilde St. Margaret's? When you come together in August, is it everybody freshmen through seniors?
Yeah, for the most part. We've had in the past just a tough time with numbers, and I think a lot of schools are struggling with that now. But we have pretty good fall with our numbers, and it's been pretty exciting to watch.
Do you have to recruit inside the hallways a little bit? Because you got some athletes there.
We do. We have athletes. Our biggest struggle, I think, in the last 27 years has just been, you know, finding the Eric Wilsons roaming the hallways. And, you know, Eric was such a great player for us on that 16 team, and, you know, he was a special kid, but we don't have those 6'4", 300-pounders running around the school. Mm-hmm.
Not many do, and when you do, you got to try to get them out, you know. You got a running back this year, though. Every time we do the highlights on Friday night, he's scoring a touchdown, and he's not the biggest guy on the field for sure.
If you're talking about Joe Marinaro, his heart's probably 10 times the size of his body. He's 6 foot, about 215, but he's a weight room kid, as the rest of the kids are. But Joe's just he's a special player.
No, I'm talking about who's the sophomore?
Cam Royal.
Yeah, Cam Royal. Yeah, he had four touchdowns that one night.
Yeah, he's a shifty little devil.
Yeah,
and he's young to our he's new to our program, so he's figuring out how it's going, and he stepped in, and we have a four or five different backs that we use, and they're all just as gifted, and they have their own special niche, so.
When do most come to your program? Are most of them fed through a Catholic school, or not necessarily? Do a lot of them show up in ninth grade, 10th grade, whenever?
Yeah, it's mostly, I think, kids come after their eighth grade year. They make that transition to senior high and ninth grade. We do have some that come as seventh graders from the, you know, the local Catholic feeder schools. And, you know, they do a great job preparing them for our school because our school is so tough academically. And so we get them from all over. And you've got Robbinsdale kids, you've got Wayzata kids, Minneapolis kids. I think people are just looking for a school academically that's just getting ready for college. So
when they come to you, when they're looking at, you know, a lot of times they decide maybe they want to get a private education and they want them to play football too. And they're looking at, you know, pretty common for them to be looking at several schools at once. When you meet with them, what do you tell them about the Benilde St. Margaret's experience?
Our school's going to prepare them for college. That's number one. Number two, you know, we're going to guarantee them they're going to have the funnest time. That's our goal on our staff, is to make sure these kids have the greatest experience of their lives playing football and being part of the school, and not just being a football player, being part of math league or choir or drama or whatever. Just be part of everything.
And then when do you turn them over to Ken Pauley for the finishing touch?
Kenny goes against those great hockey players, and I'm trying to tap some of those kids to come play football. And we do have a couple of kids that are playing this year, and I think they're having a blast, and they're doing a really good job for us, and they've never played. So
they all have a blast when they do it, but for whatever reason, hockey players more than any other, it's hard to get them to play another sport. I don't know if it was because the time they have to put into that, or they're afraid that they won't make it in another sport, but it just seems like that's the toughest one to get to play another sport.
Well, I think we might have to revisit when we start football in the fall, so we're not overlapping with basketball and hockey. I think it just puts such a strain on the hockey kids because they look at it as, God, I got to get skating or I'm going to be in trouble during tryouts.
Yeah.
Or,
yep.
You know, I've got to get in the gym and get my basketball, you know, my shooting down and everything else. But, you know, it's just something maybe we need to start talking about, maybe starting our season a little earlier so we're not overlapping the rest of those sports.
Now, you've looked at the tape, obviously. When you see Minnehaha Academy, Blake, SMB is what they're called. Mainly they come from Minnehaha. And Jalen Suggs is their quarterback. Give me a coach's view on what you've seen from him on tape this week.
Lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
I don't know what you do with his he's just so athletic, and he's got a cannon for an arm. He makes great decisions. We have to be so good with our contain with him and how we rush our lanes and coverage and oh my God, it's just gonna, we're having a handful, that's for sure.
So is a big part of him, though, you know, when I watch him, I mean, some of that stuff, all you really can do to an extent, because he doesn't know what he's going to do when he starts to improvise, you just got to stay wide and try to contain him, right, and keep him within a box if you can?
Yeah, it's like trying to keep, maybe try to catch a squirrel. I mean,
yeah.
He's just so elusive that if you get yourself out of your rush lane, he's going to expose you. And so we've got to be very diligent with that and hold the edge. And there's a lot of things we've got to do defensively correct tomorrow night, or we're going to have a struggle. So.
Now you're playing at your place, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and will you get, I mean, this should be a good crowd. This should be. Yeah, I was talking to Dwight Lundin the other night about when they played Orono in a section final game a few years ago. A lot of people said that could be a state championship game. This one has a little bit of that feel too.
Yeah, that that Orono Becker game. We played both those teams that year, and they beat the absolute dog. They killed us, both teams, and that was the state championship game that year. Those two teams were phenomenal. We played SMB last year in the section final. We lost to them by two, and it was just a heck of a ball game. There's a lot of people there. Should be a lot of people tomorrow night, too. And I think the environment's just going to be like all those great section final games. It'll be a lot of fun.
Now, those Marineros, they're not related to Ed Marinero at all, are they?
You know, I've never really asked the family.
You know, for those of us that are old enough to remember, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, and Ed was running back for the Vikings who played Cornell and then went on to star in Hill Street Blues. He was an actor that made his money in Hollywood. And he was a heartthrob to a lot of the young ladies in this town back in the day when he played. And for those of us that remember the Vikings glory days, we remember Ed Marinero fondly. What do you enjoy the most that keeps you coming back to coaching, Coach?
I think being with the kids. I mean, I think they keep me young. And I think if you would come to today's practice, I mean, we had music going and just the upbeat and and just our practice tempo and our excitement for what's about to happen. It's just, I think that's what keeps you coming back. And it's every day. I mean, it's a grind, but they really keep me young, I think, inside. And that's what's, I think, just a joy watching them execute what you taught them all week. And, you know, that's the thrill of it, I think.
Have you evolved a lot as a coach, or do you coach the same way, the same offense, the same defense as 27 years ago?
We changed so much. We were so bad. We were so bad as coaches. We were struggling to get players, and you know, we got better because we went to clinics. We went and talked to coaches, and some of these great coaches that in the state of Minnesota that we took a lot of things from and learned from, and that's how we got better. I mean, just talking to people and seeing how you teach, how you coach, how you change the environment. And our environment wasn't very good, and you know, I think we're going in the right direction now.
Yeah, I'll say, I mean, the secret sauce is there's no secret sauce, right? You just got to be fundamentally sound day after day and layer them on top of each other, right?
Well, you just work on that every day. You know, fundamentals is key to the game. If you can block and tackle and you can execute and do your job, you're probably going to do real well. So that's what we focus on every day.
Well, Coach, appreciate it very much. Congratulations on a great season. Looking forward to seeing this one tomorrow night. It's going to be great.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
You bet. John Hanks, head coach, doing a great job. Benilde St. Margaret's High School tomorrow, the section finals. And you know, I guess technically in 6A, it's not section finals because they just district them into, they take 32 teams and they just seed them and play it out. But you get the point. If you win tomorrow, you're in the state tournament. You get your picture in the program and all that stuff. And then you're one game away from playing at U.S. Bank Stadium if you win. Paul Douglas and I were talking about this back in every time Halloween comes up, and today's Halloween, you think about the Halloween Blizzard if you lived here at that time. And back then, you know, these teams, not everybody's got a dome. It seems like they can practice in, you know, right on their own campus almost, or if not, I think Holy Angels has two of them. And you can rent that out if Holy Angels still isn't in the playoffs. But in 91, when that blizzard hit, it hit on a Friday, and it was this Friday. It was the section final Friday, and it just wiped it out. And a lot of teams ended up playing in the Metrodome at that time. They kind of went round the clock because they just had to get games in just to get the thing on track, and they played in the Fargo Dome and everywhere else that they could find. And it was a little bit ironic because teams that, you know, you always thought you had to get to the Prep Bowl to earn your way into the Metrodome. And they were getting as many teams in just playing the Metrodome just to get games done. And it was a little bit, it was a double whammy because it was a throw for these kids, not just because out of nowhere they had to play in the Metrodome, but just 2 weeks prior to that, a week prior, 2 weeks prior, the Minnesota Twins had won the World Series there. So they're coming into the same building that they've just watched and we've just been enamored with as the Twins won the World Series in 7 games and Jack Morris threw the gem and now they're playing football there and that was never on their schedule. But this amazing blizzard came into town like we've never seen and just wiped everything out. I thought that was so much fun when that blizzard. I just love it. I love that. I don't know what it is, but and I know it probably wreaked havoc on everybody's life, et cetera. All of us know that. But I just love a good blizzard, and I love the way that we in Minnesota embrace it, and we kind of feel like we're all in this together fighting this thing. I think that is so cool. And to do that, and that's what I remember about that, is the snow kept coming and waves, and we were, you know, I was producing a high school show at the time at Channel 4, and we, you know, there was no high school show because there was no football. And I sent somebody out. I said, just find the first stadium you can find and shoot what it looks like there as the snow came in. And the bleachers now had, you know, that 5 or 6 inch coating, you know, on every bench. And the field was unplayable because it was just a blanket of beautiful white snow, but you knew you couldn't play football there. But it was just cool. And then everybody kind of gets through it together, and we dig out together and all that stuff. I don't know why it is that I would find that fun, but I think that what I'm saying right now kind of resonates with other people. I think there's a part of us and a spirit that goes with us that says, no, I don't want to shovel this. I don't want to get the snowblower out. But you know what? I feel kind of good when I'm doing it. And when I shovel us out of here and I see that I move the snow, however it is, I feel like I'm embracing this, like I'm overcoming the challenges, and that's what we do here in Minnesota. And there's something about it that it just it creates this spirit. And I don't want to see anybody ever get hurt. And I hate to see events get canceled and rescheduled and all that because of the weather. And at the same time, I love a good blizzard. And if you're saying to me, what's the epitome of a blizzard that you remember in your life in Minnesota, it would be the Halloween blizzard. Because you couldn't believe that that much snow could fall. And what the driveway looked like when it was done. You didn't even know where to start. I remember I had a four-wheel drive. And at that time, I was just young and single. I lived with a bunch of guys in the house. They went home to go duck hunting. And they had great duck hunting before it hit because all the ducks were moving the migration from Canada. They didn't know what was – I mean, nobody knew that we were going to get that much snow. They were just out because they were out and they had a chance. And they had really good hunting. And then all of a sudden the blizzard came in and shut everything down. It was over. And they were just – they were stranded back home in Gaylord where they, we grew up and they lived. And I had that whole house to myself. It was a big house that we lived in. And I just remember it was so weird because you're so used to having activity and guys there, and all of a sudden you just have the whole house to yourself in this big house. And you've never had that before because you came from college and you always had a dorm and a roommate and this, and then all of a sudden you got this whole house to yourself and had a four-wheel drive. And that was enough, man. That's all I needed. And maybe a date or two. I could come over to the house because I had the four-wheel drive. And I have such wonderful memories from that weekend. Allow me to think about that a little bit and reflect on that. And to do it justice, let's take a commercial break and then let's come back with Henry Lake's memories of the 1991 blizzard. Stay with us.
Sports to the max.
News Talk 830 WCCO on your AM dial. It is pretty cool to be part of a radio station that is live and local all the time. I think we have one day that we play, in essence, syndicated, and that's Christmas Day. We do Christmas Day, we play music all day. I think that's the only day all year where we don't have local programming. And we're proud of that here. We're there for you every day. And believe me, if there's a blizzard that comes in on Christmas Day, somebody will be here telling you where you need to be and where you need to go and making sure that you don't end up in the ditch somewhere, because that's what we do. We're live. We're local. We're WCCO. We're the home of the Timberwolves, the Twins. And it's a tough station. Somebody said once that CCO is vanilla. And actually, it's the hardest station to really program anywhere because we're trying to be everything to everybody. If you're an all-sports station, then boom, every day you're just doing sports. If you're an all-political station, right or left wing, exactly what it is. That's all you got to do. I'm not saying all. I'm not trying to minimize it. But you're going to be talking about politics. So you start with the president, maybe go to local politics, whatever it is, but it's all right there. And there's no question. You have great clarity. Here we try to be everything to everybody. And you're trying to plug different pieces in so you get us, it's like – it's like you're walking through the buffet, right? And you get, you love chicken, so you take a drumstick, but you want to leave some room on your plate because you want some mashed potatoes and gravy. You want that too. And then, oh boy, you got some of those vegetables. Those are healthy for you, so you want to throw a few vegetables on there and get some of that corn. And, oh boy, you better leave room because there's some prime rib there. And they're cutting it right there for you. So you want some prime rib for sure. And those buttered rolls. My gosh, you got to have some buttered rolls. So you take two of those, and then you get some water and maybe some chocolate milk to drink because it's a special occasion. And don't ever, ever, ever forget about dessert. And, oh, boy, I don't know if I want the pumpkin pie or the apple pie or is that cake or is that a cookie? I want some of it. And then I got to have a good cup of coffee, too, because at the end of this, I'm going to want it with my dessert when I have some coffee. That's what we are. And you're looking at it going, boy, this is pretty cool. That's what we do every day here. It's the traffic, it's the weather, it's the everything. And it all comes together. All these pieces got to fit together so that at the end of the day, anytime you turn it on, you're getting something good. And then you're going to change it a little bit, and you're going to move to weather and traffic and all that stuff. And the news is going to be done. Like I said, Steve Simpson, it's all good. But we're going to give you everything. And that's a difficult, difficult station to program, more so than any other kind of station that there is. In radio. Henry Lake is coming up next. He's going to talk some sports for sure because that's what he and I do. Once in a while, we'll move a little out of there. We did a little bit tonight, but in general, if we got good sports stuff, we got good sports stuff. Henry, I thought 1-3 games ended up being 2 games of suspension for Embiid and Towns, and I thought it would go somewhere in that area because you can't have those guys off the floor for too long.
I'm disappointed in the league. I'll be starting with this. I'm disappointed in the league because I feel like if you're going to say 2 games for Joel Embiid and he instigated the situation and he's been the instigator of this back and forth between him and Karl Anthony Towns, he should have gotten more time or an additional game. I'll say that, number one. Number two, how does Ben Simmons get nothing?
I think because they saw him as a peacemaker.
Yeah, but
and he didn't come off the bench.
I don't
if
think
you come that, off the bench, boom, you're
I,
done.
I don't think that anybody can reasonably look at the video and claim peacemaker. Like, that's what part of being a peacemaker? He was choking someone.
But let's just say this. Let's just say that maybe they – I don't know how this works. I really don't. So do they call him and does he say to them, look, here's my version.
No, this is just their call. This is
obviously, but everybody gets to say something. Otherwise, you got no due process. And if he says, look, I thought Towns was about to do this, so all I was doing was making sure that for 5 seconds he was down.
No, this is my point. What I'm saying is they made that call probably today, right, with Ben Simmons.
I don't know. I don't know how they do that. I don't know if they do it last night. I don't know.
No, but this is what I'm saying. I'm sure that they made that call today with him. But the referees made that point last night. They called it that way last night.
You mean they didn't throw him out of the game?
They reiterated after the game in the notes that they
right.
do, the crosstalk between the press and the officials. They said they deemed him as a peacemaker. All the league did today was back up the refs. That's my point. They should have said, you know what? You guys may have saw it this way. We reviewed the video, and we feel like there should be something there. That's my point.
You know, the other thing they got, though, that we don't know, they had wireless mic on the referees, which also picks up, obviously, audio from the players. So I don't know if they said, we listened to it, and Simmons is going, hey, just settle down. I don't know if they get – I don't know what they have access to there that might have said, hey, you know what? We can hear him – saying to Karl Anthony Towns, Layla, or something like that.
All I'm saying is that there's no way anybody can look at the video and clearly not see that there was a choke there. Like, you can say peacemaker all you want, Ben, but Tony Adams, a friend of ours, a friend of mine, that's a Minneapolis police officer.
He was in the middle of that thing.
He was the one that pulled Ben Simmons off. I'm a text Tony here at the top of the hour.
Yeah, I was wondering what freedom, you know, because there are rules about players not leaving the bench,
mm-hmm.
but Tony was in the middle of it.
Oh, no, he's security.
That must be an automatic that they're allowed to do what they want.
Oh, huh? Absolutely. Yeah, he's security. Yeah,
and the coaches can come out.
Yep.
But a player better not. I think that's what it is, right?
Yep, that's the way it is.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you're not in the game, you better stay put, or you're really in trouble.
Yeah, so I'm frustrated by that, and it makes no sense.
I'm telling you where it all stems from. Jimmy Butler. Butler goes to Philly and says, Embiid, play him tough. He's soft.
But this is also the...
We got 5 seconds.
But the other... Well, we'll get to it at the top of the hour.
Henry Lake coming up next on CCL.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.